More than 80 Palestinians were killed by Israeli strikes across the Gaza Strip in the last 24 hours, most of them in Gaza City, according to local hospitals there, including women and children among at least 20 who died when an Israeli strike hit a building and tents sheltering displaced families near Firas Market in Gaza City's central Daraj neighbourhood overnight, according to first responders there. The Israeli military said it struck two Hamas fighters and that the number of casualties didn't align with its information. Meanwhile, Israeli tanks and troops continued their advance into the heart of the city, which Israel says is the last stronghold of Hamas. Dr. Mohammed Abu Mugaseb was the deputy medical director, coordinator, for Médecins Sans Frontières in Gaza and worked in the healthcare system there for over 20 years. He was recently evacuated from Gaza to Dublin and is with us in studio this morning. Dr. Mohammed, thank you very much for coming into Morning Ireland, and you're very welcome to Ireland. We'll talk about how you got here shortly. Can you tell me first about Gaza and the conditions that you've left behind?
So, first of all, thank you for having me. I left Gaza with, as you mentioned in your report, the population now in the north area has evacuation order to move to the south. There is 1 million people are struggling to move. They are asking them to move to the south area, which was called the humanitarian zone, which is, between brackets, it's not a humanitarian zone. The hospitals are collapsing one by one, which are in the north. Patients are actually in these hospitals are lying on the floor there. There is no beds at all. They are functioning without electricity because there is no fuel allowed to run the generators there. There is lack of still drugs and disposables that are needed to operate and to treat these patients. So doctors now are consulting the patient without giving any treatment because there is no more treatment. The population still are struggling to find shelters, which there is no space, there is no tents, struggling to find water. So, I left Gaza with, I don't know what to call it. There is no term to describe what's going on Gaza. And this is not when I left it. It has been since the 700 days of this war.
You're a doctor. What work were you able to do there?
The doctors in Gaza, not me only, but all the doctors, whatever, working with MSF or working with the government or other international NGOs, they are part of the population. They have families, so they are working under really severe stress because they are working in the hospitals and they have to secure their families. They have to find a place to shelter their families. They have to secure food, which is a very huge problem at one point, to secure water supply. They were working sometimes in the hospital and receiving the news that their families has been killed or injured in an airstrike. So imagine a surgeon or a doctor who's working and operating on patients, and he received the news and he gets his family in the hospital in the ER. So, the doctors are part of the population. So whatever the population suffers is the doctors and the paramedics who are there.
For you, where were you living then in recent months? Because I gather you had to move several times, is that right?
Yes, I during this war, I stopped counting actually the movement. I lived in Gaza City, and the first evacuation order was at the 1st of October, the beginning of October of the war. So I moved to the middle area, from middle area to the south, more souther to Rafah. Then Rafah was in May, we have to evacuate back, so I went back to Khan Yunis. So I was moving, let's say, on an average of every month to find a place. I was among the luckiest that I managed to evacuate my family to Cairo for safety and then to move easily. But, I'm looking at my colleagues, my friends. They have families, children. I need to move inside Gaza with a family. It's a big responsibility. When you don't find a space to put your tent, when you cannot find a tent even, they are using plastic sheets to build a tent. There is no water supply. So, I consider myself more...
Were you living in the hospital? Where were you living?
I moved at the beginning to one of my friends in the middle area, but then it became very dangerous. So I moved, I rented a small place on the coastal side. It was a restaurant. So I took a small room in this restaurant. Then I moved to another place, which was a fish farm. And it was destroyed. So I used the electricity unit room to put my mattress. That was your life, your mattress, your pillow, and your documents. That was I moving.
And for food, Mohammed, what were you surviving on?
At one point, I can say that we lived the moment that we had acute hunger phase. I felt hungry because I had the money, but I couldn't find nothing on the market to buy. And when you find a piece of bread at that time, you know, it was a kind of luxury to find a bed, and to buy it, it's very expensive. It's the cost of one bed is was €5, and that's me because I can afford it. I'm still working, but imagine the population that 80% of them are in poverty. They were really children who were, when I say it literally, they were really crying in the tent because their families cannot provide for them milk or food, and they were crying because of hunger, and they sleep because they get tired from crying, so they sleep. So hunger, there was acute hunger. Famine, I was not waiting to declare the famine in Gaza because we witnessed it, as me and my colleagues who are working with MSF, this starvation.
How did you get out of Gaza?
You know, I applied for, I mean, I'm working with MSF, so I applied for the my work with MSF Ireland and here, and the Irish government and embassy really facilitated my work papers. That
did you look to come to Ireland or just to get out?
Let's say it's both. I mean, to be honest, I mean, at one point, I mean, I miss my family. They are 1 year and a half. I didn't see them. I need to unite with them. I mean, my wife, my daughter, my two boys, they're in Cairo since 1 year and a half. It was my choice to stay in Gaza, but you know, I'm a human being. So at one point you break, you know, things are not ending. I mean, the suffering didn't end.
And physically getting out of Gaza, getting over the border, was that straightforward? How was that for you?
I mean, the Irish embassy was very organized in the evacuation for the students at that time with the group with me, mainly well for students. But it was very organized. Each step was organized since the beginning, the timing, the pickup. But the trip itself inside Gaza is really horrible, you know, because you need to go through the red zone, a compact zone, to exit Gaza. And that's, yes, it's coordinated, but it's still horrible to pass and to see the rebels. I mean, I when I entered some areas in Gaza while during the evacuation, I didn't recognize Rafah, I didn't recognize Khan Yunis. It was just rebels. And the tanks, of course, are there. I mean, they were blocking the road, but they are, you know, they open it and they allow the convoy. But I didn't recognize none of the streets of Rafah and Khan Yunis that I know it by heart. I mean, I'm living there for 25 years, so I know Gaza by heart. I didn't recognize no street. And then when I arrived, I saw the Egyptian border, which is, I knew that now I'm in Rafah.
Yes.
That was the only sign that I could knew for all these.
So you're here since Friday?
Since the 17th, yes.
Yeah. How are you finding it?
Very strange. I have really mixed feelings. You know, it's very difficult. I mean, to wake up without the sound of the drones, the shelling, the bombing. And you know, I left all my memories there. My I have friends, colleagues, families there that are, I know that they are still suffering, and they wanted to, as well, to be evacuated, to be in security. But it's difficult. I mean, I still have my heart, my soul is there. Physically, I'm here, but my heart and soul is there. And
what's in your view? What's the future for Gaza now?
I see a very bad future for Gaza. What I see on the ground, that, I mean, there is no Gaza anymore. There is rebels. I mean, the schools are destroyed. The streets are destroyed. The infrastructure is destroyed. I mean, there is no more, you know, there is neighborhoods are erased from the planet. So, I don't know, the population, I mean, the children are out of school and universities since 2 years. It's, you know, Gaza is destroyed socially, physically, materially, and psychologically.
Dr. Mohammed, thank you very much for coming into us this morning. Dr. Mohammed Abu Mageseb was the Deputy Director, Medical Coordinator, for Medecins Sans Frontières in Gaza.